Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there. This is Kara, Strange Days Indeed Radio. And let me see here, making some notes right here. Got my plumber coming later today for a faucet, so got to make this kind of a little bit mixed up today. Because I've been working on other things. Yay! Quick, before we go into the chat, I am taking new intuitive session clients. Intro price, $77. Normally, it is more than that, but I have opened up space in my life to get more clients. So this is the perfect thing for you. Fairly, right? My skills with doing an intuitive spiritual session, it's basically a powwow between souls. It's not like, is Tim going to marry me or is Dick going to marry me? Oh, well, we see where this is going. This is about, igniting the energy between two souls for intuitive divine guidance and creating that game plan. I notice a lot in the religious world, the formal religious world, you might say, is that they're so busy with all of the bells and whistles and everything they have to do. There's just people who just need to talk for 20 minutes, for, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. And unfortunately, there's just not that time. There's not that system in place. So spiritual coaching is that. It's not therapy where we dig out all of the skeletons in your closet, throw them on the floor, and pick which ones we're going to make you cry about this week. It is about more of uplifting and clarity and just soothing your soul. If you are like me, you can get too deep in your head. You can get too deep into overthinking, and you kind of need just somebody to say, okay, I hear this. I hear this in your voice and your soul. This is what's going to decompress. I'm also really good with dreams and omens and intuitive hits. So, and with this world right now in Cancer, and all of the astrology going on, everybody is feeling more sensitive, kind of emotional, especially with all this water. And so, we can get overwhelmed and we can get off of our disc. So this is the perfect time to just get that pep talk. I am a strong believer in pep talks. My mentor, a business mentor, spiritual mentor, she's about kicking butt. Like, she's not there to hold my hand, even though I love hand holding. I love teddy bears and I love naps. She's not like that. She's like, nope, you get to work and you say what you got to say. You do what you got to do. Just go do it. Da da da. Perfect. Perfect. $77 intro price, about a 1 hour read. How much spirit has, because you know what, sometimes spirit can say it slowly and sometimes it takes us a while to get it, sometimes it'll be longer, but we're going to shoot for the 60 minute mark. If you're interested in that, message me at strangedaysindeedradio@gmail.com or go to my website karathompson.com, which is karathompson.com, and just click on the PayPal button, and I will get back to you within 48 hours for your reading. All right, so what are we going to talk about today? I bit the bullet and finally listened to Stephen King's It, that classic. My dad's all about the horror. I kind of have a dark sense of humor, a very dry sense of humor, a sense of humor that most people just know there's a bit of truth into it, which is wonderful. And then when it floats over other people's heads, I just I don't know. I don't know, and I don't want to catch it. And it's just like, you know what? I'm not going to explain. It's going to be too deep. It's going to be too rabbit hole. But I've always avoided horror books because I thought I couldn't stand them. Detective books, great. Some exorcist books, especially about from real exorcists, that has been something I've delved into, ghost stories, stuff like that. That's easy for me. But when it comes to actual horror, like when I was dragged to Saw or, oh my God, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that literally gave me a panic attack. Anything to do with torture, just, oh God, I hate that. I hope we all hate torture, right? Anyway, so I listened to Stephen King's It on Audible. I do have kids, so you know, not only does mom not have time to sit down with a book every night, but also I like having it fed into my ear. My kids don't see it, and sense it, so it's just a groovy thing. I really fell in love with the characters. I'm sure most of you have read it, but there's a large camp like myself who's like intuitive and empathic, and we're like, oh, we can't take this. But the color of his writing, you know, I know he's considered overrated or the best. It's kind of half and half. But the color of depth of his characters, and how long that book was, 23 hours on Audible. Like, you can't get a better deal than that, right? It just, you fell in love with each character, and you couldn't have predicted why the evil was there, why it was balanced out. But it was so funny. When I finished the book, which I felt like I deserved a medal for, excellent narrator, though. The narrator means everything to a story, including The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon by Stephen King, which is a much different type of book. It was narrated by Anne Heche, you know, Ellen DeGeneres used to, you know, go out with her. She actually had a really good voice for that. And this Stephen King's It also has a really good voice for that. I find audiobooks where I just don't like the narrator's voice, it's really hard for me to pay attention and to fall in love with the book. So anyway, back to that. After I finished It, I walked into my kitchen and there were yellow balloons floating on the floor. Now, stay with me. Yellow is one of my favorite colors. It used to not be, but it's my son's favorite color. My aura is yellow, and yellow actually brings down anxiety. I see it as a clean color. So it's just kind of this color that can just make things happen, but not like, you know, the ugly old pale yellow. I'm not into that. It's got to be the bright yellow. I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna let this ruin me for yellow balloons. The next day, oh yeah, the loud buzzer bugs in Orlando are now singing their song in the background. The next day, I had watched the 2-hour movie, and I was so excited about it. Even though it jumped, it kind of changed a lot of the storyline, which is understandable. But you know, I was still excited, and honestly, it was more scary because it was a visual right there, and I couldn't direct the visuals within my mind. So I went through that, and the pizza guy came because Stephen King pizza, hello. And I proceeded to tell him all about, you know, the book and everything. And he's like, wow, I'll check out audiobooks because I drive a lot. I was like, yeah, and you need to get YouTube Red because all I do is just listen to things and you will just find it so much more entertaining than just listening to the radio and driving around. So he's going to go out and do that. Weird thing about Stephen King's It is it includes my birthday in there in the 80s. So that was kind of a funky thing. I didn't read the interviews afterwards from Stephen King. I don't know if he actually gives interviews, as a lot of really great writers don't. But I did find out that he did work on the book from 1981 to 1985. So that is your proof right there that things can take several years and they can still happen. So no excuses, right? The next thing we're going to go, before we proceed, hello. Then I found a couple Black Widows in my garage. I won't say how that ties into the story, but my husband found them. They were definitely Black Widows. And of course, I had to kill them. But then I was like, I tend to try not to kill things, but if it's going to kill me. So I rounded about and looked online. It's a bad luck if you kill a Black Widow. It means, you have to kill 77 flies in order to be released. All these Native American beliefs and psychic omen beliefs about that. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just not going to read into the Black Widow thing. It's just a humid time in Orlando, and my garage was bumping, and I probably saved a male Black Widow's life. And I was reading about female Black Widows, and I'm like, holy cow, wow, they are vicious, man. So yeah, got the spray coming out today, tomorrow, thank God, just to make sure the little buggers stay on the other side of Wonderland here. The next thing I want to talk about is, hold on, drink of water. Just kidding, that was coffee. The next thing I want to talk about is Jay-Z's 444. I think that's his album title name. Now, I haven't been a big fan of Jay-Z for a while, and mostly that was just all the bizarre stuff that seemed to be happening. And we all change as we age, but I noticed that Beyonce completely became like a different person, just radically so. Not just switching religions or switching personas, like most celebrities do, but just this radical, like I couldn't identify with it anymore. So I kind of stepped away and was like Team Kanye. Although Kanye, he's got his wild cards. When he started calling out Jay-Z, I was like, you know what? There's probably something to this. There's probably something. But he released his album 444. I've only gotten to hear like one song and then like a billion, decoding of it on YouTube of like, what do the lyrics mean? A popular thing, though, is that a lot of people have been reporting about 444 in particular lately. The astrologer celebrity, the Leo King, who's actually done my reading, he actually switched his clock to 444 because he says he's seen it everywhere. And he said that in two or three live streams ago. You can find it on the YouTube, under the Leo King. And he said, I don't give an F if people think I'm in the Illuminati or not. This is just what's been coming up for me. So I found it very interesting that right after that, then Jay-Z's, album, which was probably named a long time ago, was and is 444. So this is actually going to be an album I am going to buy and decode because I love mysteries. And you know what? You really can't decode music as much as you wish you could. That's all I'll say about that. Like we all can break down the rabbit hole, and I love the rabbit hole, but just sometimes we just see it so much biased based on the religion we had or what we've heard before that we just take it out of context. And the artists can play up on that. They can play up on it to make it interesting because why not, right? It was funny. My landlord came over yesterday and he was trying to fix our garage door opener. And he was told, keep it unplugged for 30 minutes and then retry it. And I said, well, why not 33 minutes? And he was like, well, why? I was like, 33 degree Masons. And then I realized he didn't get it. And then when we were talking about the garage door and the garage again, I was like, maybe it needs a shaman. He's like, what's a shaman? I'm like, Native American healing, staging and drumming. Completely went over his head again. And it's things like that that make me realize that not everyone knows all of these values of the esoteric. Like, he is a genius at his craft. But once I started dropping these things that are completely what I'm used to observing and thinking about, other people just don't get it. They don't get it. But it's funny that, many priests do get it. Unfortunately, not as many as you'd think. I can't vouch for seminary right now, what they actually teach, but the former Father Malachi Martin, who was an ex-Jesuit, tended to say that they weren't really teaching about exorcisms anymore, or those pursuits of actual evil, because there's just so much other things going on. And for a while, they kind of just didn't even talk about evil. It wasn't popular. It wasn't bringing in the numbers, which is part of it. So I find that many priests I meet don't understand the spiritual dimension. They understand it from the one side of Catholicism, but it's very black and white. And it's hard to connect with them in spirit, where you're like, I'm intuitive. This is what I see. This is what I experience. I hang out with other intuitives. And they don't believe you. Yet they don't, I'm not going to say they don't believe you. They don't comprehend it. It's a really difficult thing. But, with like most big religions, and I'm not attacking religion at all, it's just so much business comes into it. So much business of, running the large church and getting in the money and getting in the ministries and dealing with the complaints, that I feel that most clergy have to act like businessmen more so than actually spiritual leaders. Which goes about to the beginning of the show when I was talking about spiritual life coaching and intuitive life coaching. Why do I do this? Because there are so many people who want to communicate and they want to talk and they want, just some confirmation that somebody is with them. But there's just not enough understanding people to talk to that are just easy to find and accessible. The one thing I will say about therapy is I can hear from some people that it is brilliant. But at the same time, when I've been in therapy for my childhood, it really dug out a lot of skeletons. And for my therapy that I went through a couple times in my life by my choosing, it was just dredging up a lot of skeletons. I did have a couple realizations, but it's kind of like dumping all of your guts on the floor and telling your whole life, and then it's kind of like, okay, you're done. But it requires like a lot of crying and raw feelings. The book I'm finishing up is my childhood memoir, which has a lot of hauntings in it, but it also has a lot of, the good side and humor, which is complete blessing. But I have to step away from that book because I get emotionally back there. My hand starts to shake. I feel that same emotion as I am sure that you're able to go back into your emotions and feel that same way you felt on that day that kid punched you. Or the same, I'm not going to trigger anyone. Let's just not trigger anyone. The same day you went to Disneyland. How about that? What I will say about people who tour in Orlando and think Walt Disney World is this huge dream, please, 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 for the love of your soul, try to wait till it's not summer because it is really hot out here and the rides are really long. There's a huge crowd, as you may imagine. You know, just go in November, just take the kids out for a week. They can deal with it. You can deal with it. The teachers can deal with it. Just sneak off and just enjoy it. You'll only have the UK side with you, and the weather will be much cooler, much more enjoyable. So let me see. Is that it? Is that it for today? Well, let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about Stephen King's It and. There's a new movie of it coming out in 2017, which is actually still this year. Whoa. Or the number 444. What do you think about the new album? And anything you have to say about intuition and dreams and omens. I feel like there has to be a level of discernment about it. I see a lot of people get carried away, just like you can get carried away with anything. Where everything is an absolute sign, and that it's not a good place to be in. It's not. I mean, we can say that nothing is a coincidence, but at the same time, you just gotta let the turtle walk past you sometimes and say, "You're really cool. I'm not gonna read into this. I'm just gonna go on and pay my bills." By the way, I love turtles. They are one of my spiritual animals. Lately, one of my spiritual animals, we have wild boars out here, but I looked at pigs and they're actually connected to fortune and ambition and a lot of other good things. So turtle is one, bear is another, and then pigs. And so I've been wearing like Betsy Johnson pigs jewelry when pigs fly. And I feel a new respect for them. But you know what? They are known to be about as smart as a 3-year-old child. Just let that sink in. So, as disgusting as you may think they are, they can be as smart as a 3-year-old child. And there are awesome videos, even on Facebook, of they thought they were getting this little toy potbelly pig, and it turned out to be a full-grown 600-pound pig that sleeps in their bed and wears a tutu and is just adorable. So, I encourage you if you're willing to feature that in your life and just kind of explore it, definitely do it. Definitely do it. Last week I did see an animal sighting, which I found to be profound. Was I was driving and this hawk, I love hawks, even though they kill precious things. This hawk just dove in front of my windshield, like, and I'm surprised we didn't collide, but hawk was smart. So hawk flew off, and right after that, I said, "Rock hawk, rock chalk, Jayhawk." I haven't said that in years. I can't find a Jayhawks fan down here. And so suddenly I was thinking about the Kansas Jayhawks at University of Kansas, of course. And the same day I get in the mail a Poshmark from Kansas. I was like, wow, I'm writing you back. I'm writing you back because you sent me when the pigs fly earrings and the Jayhawk thing. I have to tell you about it. And it was so sweet because she was selling jewelry because her son's dog had medical issues and was going to pass away, and she literally was selling all of her items. But the doggy did transition. So I'm still working on my letter to her. Sometimes I get really excited about connecting with people, and I take my time to write something encouraging and thoughtful, and then the stories just start coming out. That's what happens when you are friends or you sell stuff to a writer thing. get a long letter back. Ah, hello. Anyway, you have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful rest of the week. Enjoy the full moon. Sure, it's going to be a pretty one. And I will catch you soon. Remember, if you want to book a spiritual reading with me, go to karathompson.com. That's K-H-A-R-A, thompson.com. You can order it, and I will get back to you within 48 hours. We can Zoom, message, Skype, and record. Or you can also visit my Facebook page, which is under the same name. Or you can message me on strangedaysindeedradio@gmail.com. All right, well, I will see you soon. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day. And just keep cool, man. Keep cool. Bye.